eternal and gracious loving Father, as we now turn to the holy scriptures of truth, to the holy oracles of God, as we turn now to thine own infallible word, O Lord, it is our prayer once more that thou would speak to our hearts just now. Lord, thou knowest all about us today. We pray that from thine own truth will come a word in season, that we will rejoice as we leave the house of God this Sabbath morning. We will rejoice having heard the voice of the Lord, and able to say, God spoke to my heart today. Come now, blessed Lord, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be enabled to exalt, magnify the wonderful name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His holy name we pray. Amen. We have often pointed out that Luke in his gospel pays more attention to the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ than any of the other evangelists. And when you read about the Lord spending special times in prayer, you can be sure that some great event will accompany that prayer, such as his baptism, or some great event will follow hard on the heels of the Lord's special seasons of prayer. On this occasion, as we read there in verse 16, that the Lord Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. It was after that special season of prayer that the Lord Jesus entered into Capernaum. We know that from the record of Matthew and Mark, the other two evangelists who record this particular incident. And it was there in Capernaum that he entered into a certain house, and it was in that house that he was pleased by his grace to heal a man who was sick of the palsy. The man was saved by grace in that house, and in that house he was healed of his sickness. This, of course, would teach us that great things happen following special seasons of prayer. So that when we give ourselves to special seasons of prayer, we rejoice that we're not wasting our time, but rather God will do great things for us when we have extended seasons of prayer and we seek His face. Now, if you look at verse 17, you will see that this great event, namely the healing of the man who was sick of the palsy, that this great event took place, as we have pointed out, following a special season of prayer, and it took place on a certain day. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching. This certain day. Of course, it was a day that man who was sick of the palsy would never forget. It was most certainly a certain day for him, a very special day, just as that day when you and I received Christ as our Savior, that was a certain day in our life history, a day that we will never forget. This no doubt was a day that this particular man would not forget. It was a certain day for him. It was a day of opportunity. It was a day of opportunity because, according to Matthew and Mark, the Lord Jesus came with purpose into the city of Capernaum and made his way to this particular house. The Lord Jesus went with purpose to that city and to that house because he knew, being God, that he would meet with the man who was sick of the palsy. So he made his way to that house. It was a day of opportunity for the people in that house to hear the word of God. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So it was a day of opportunity. It was an opportunity for men and women and those gathered in that house and outside that house, an opportunity for them to hear the word of the Lord. We are thankful today that this is a day of opportunity, still a day of opportunity in which men and women have the opportunity, even yet in this apostate day and age, still an opportunity for them to hear the word of God. Not every pulpit is without a Bible. Not every pulpit in our land is without a preacher of the word. Here and there, and we thank God for them, here and there, even though they may be few and far between, there are those who in the Lord's Day morning stand in the pulpit with an open Bible and preach the word of the Lord. People have an opportunity to hear the word, to hear about the Christ of the Bible, and an opportunity to receive him as their Savior. I have no doubt that there are souls in hell today who are wishing they had just one more opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. Because in their lifetime when they did hear it, they turned a deaf ear to it. They trampled it underfoot. They talked about a more convenient season, but that convenient season never came. And how they would love to have one more opportunity, just one more opportunity to hear the word of the Lord again. What else took place on that certain day? Well, we are told in our reading that a man met the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life was completely changed. That was a wonderful day for that man, one, as we have said, we know he would never forget. We want to take a closer look at this particular man that we read about here this morning in Luke chapter 5. This man that was sick of the palsy, and how he came to be in that house in Capernaum. We trust that this house here, the Sabbath morning, will be like that house in Capernaum. As the Lord blessed that house with his presence and his power, may the Lord ever bless this house with his presence and his power. I want us first of all to consider the man and his helpless condition. The Lord Jesus attracted people wherever he went. And this visit to Capernaum was no exception. Look at verse 17 of Luke 5. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And so there were people in that house from cities of Galilee, or the town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice that in that company of people in that house, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law. What were they doing there? Well, we are told what they were doing there. They were told that they were doing nothing more than sitting by. Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. They were simply just occupying a seat or a place in that house. They had not come to receive any, with a desire in their heart to receive any benefit from the preaching of the word. They were merely sitting by. Mark pays attention to that as well in his record. There are many today and they go to the house of God. And they're like the doctors of the law and the Pharisees. They attend the house of God and all they do is, they're like them, they're sitting by. Haven't gone up to receive any benefit from the preaching of the word. They've merely gone to pass an hour or so. But we rejoice that there are others there at that meeting who were there to do business with God. Dear child of God, every time we go up to the house of the Lord, may we go with the intention of doing business with God. Meeting with the Lord. Receiving some blessing and benefit from God's holy, the preaching of God's holy word. And there were those in that meeting that day in Capernaum who had brought a friend of theirs, carried him in on a couch, led him down before the Lord. But before we look at the man, let us look at the man. The man in his helpless condition. Notice his destitution. Surely as we look at this individual, we behold his destitution. He was sick of the palsy. He needed help. He needed healing. He needed his health back again. Matthew and Mark both describe him as a man sick of the palsy. But you can always be sure, whenever you read Luke's account of anything, Luke will give you a few more details that the others leave out, especially when it comes to describing someone who's sick of some disease or other. Dr. Luke will always add another detail. And where Matthew and Mark speak of this individual as the man sick of the palsy, we find in Luke, that Luke tells us there in verse 8, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. Matthew and Mark didn't tell us that this man was taken with a palsy, but Dr. Luke tells us he was taken with a palsy. The word appears in three other places in the New Testament. Matthew 4, verse 24. We read there about those who were taken with diverse diseases. Luke chapter 4, verse 38, we read that Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And then Luke chapter 8, verse 37, we read about the Gadarenes, who after they had witnessed the salvation and the healing of the man called Legion, were told they were taken with a great fear. In other words, they were gripped with fear, almost paralyzed with fear. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. This fever had a grip upon her. She couldn't shake off this fever. Just like the man sick of the palsy, he was taken with a palsy. He was under its control. It controlled him. He did not control it. It was impossible for him to control it. He was under its control. You know, there are many like that man. the man who was taken with a palsy. There are many like that man today, only the palsy that they suffer from is their sin. They're sick with sin. And their sin has taken hold of them like a fever, like a disease. And they are under its control. They have no power, no strength in themselves to break free from this awful disease of sin. They are in its grip. They are as paralyzed as this man was. They are as helpless as this man was. They are as just as hopeless as this man was. They will not come to Christ. Therefore, what must be done? We must, by the Lord's help and the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, we have to bring them to Christ. Just as four men brought this man sick of the palsy to Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can break the power of cancel sin and set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. We can say His blood avails for me. Their souls today, and they are as destitute as this man. Their sin has left them destitute. Christ is the answer. But who will get them to Christ? That's where we come in. We must seek to get men and women to Jesus Christ. Notice then, secondly, the description of the man. It is interesting to note how this man is described in the four Gospels. Look at verse 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy. It's as if the Lord left something out there. Of course He didn't, but the Lord didn't say, so He said unto the man who was sick of the palsy. He just said, or we just read that He said unto the sick of the palsy. In other words, the man was identified by his disease. So when He addressed the sick of the palsy, everybody knew who He was addressing and who he was speaking to. The man's disease identified Him. Now, isn't that true today? Hasn't that been true down through the centuries? That there are men and women and they are identified, how? By their sins. That's what identifies them. Maybe if I was to speak this morning about someone who has a blasphemous tongue, you would think immediately of someone you perhaps know. The name of someone comes into your mind immediately. I know a man who's a blasphemer. I know a man who you couldn't spend 2 minutes in His presence because of the blasphemous language that comes from His mouth. I remember a man like that coming to our home. And I lived at home with my brothers and my parents out in the country. And when this man came to see my father, when he arrived on our property, my father used to send I and my brothers into the house. Because the man had the worst tongue ever you heard. He was a blasphemer. Thank God that man got saved by the grace of God. But at that time, he was known, everybody knew him by his sin, by his blasphemy. If we were to speak about drunkenness, Maybe right away you would recall or think of someone, maybe the town drunk or someone who's a drunkard in your neighborhood, and everybody knows him as a drunkard. He's gone by his sin. That's how this man was known. That was the man that four other men brought to the Savior. And how this would teach us to pray that the Lord would give us a burden even for the worst sinners in town. Dr. Paisley often said or tells the story that when he first commenced his ministry in the Raven Hill Road, you've maybe heard him tell the story. When he started his ministry in the Raven Hill Road, he inquired as to who was the worst sinner on the Raven Hill Road in Belfast. Tell me who's the worst sinner. The people had no hesitation in telling him, so and so, and he lives in such a house. And that's the man Dr. Paisley went after for the Lord. He hammered on the door until the door was eventually opened. Of course, the man didn't want to have anything to do with Dr. Paisley or the gospel, but he went back again and he went back again until he won that man for Christ. That's the burden we need for souls. Here was a man in Capernaum who was known. He was identified by his disease. And four men brought him to Christ. I want you to notice, thirdly, the dependence of the man. Being completely paralyzed, this man was depending on others to get him to the Lord. He never would have got there without their help. He couldn't have. It was impossible. He was paralyzed. And this day of opportunity had come. The day of opportunity had come for the man, and the day of opportunity had come for the four men. The Lord was passing this way. He was going through Capernaum. He was in a house, and there was the opportunity for the four men to get their friend to Christ. The opportunity may not be there the next day. The opportunity may not be there in the afternoon. They must get this man, this friend of theirs, to the Lord. You, when you think of it, thousands of souls, while they would not admit it yet, they're depending on us to get them to Christ. Depending on us to bring Christ to them or get them to Christ. They'll not come on their own. It is the day of opportunity for us. It is the day of grace for them. Fanny J. Crosby wrote many wonderful hymns. Let me read you the words of one verse from one of her hymns. To the work! To the work! Let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings, salvation is free. That's our message. What a great message it is. So we have the man in his helpless condition. Then we have, secondly, the man and his helpful companions. This poor man's partners took time to bring their sick friend in his bed to the house where the Lord was ministering the word. In other words, they wanted to get him to the meeting. But like a church meeting took place in this house, there was the preacher. Christ was the preacher. Brought this man to the meeting. They didn't go empty-handed. They brought this man to the meeting that he might be brought to Christ. And here we have, first of all, regarding this man's helpful companions, notice their desire. We cannot help but see in these verses just how desirous these men were to get their sick friend to Christ. You can just imagine. You can come up with all kinds of pictures in your mind of the four men, whoever they were. They have just been told the Lord Jesus has arrived in Capernaum. The stranger of Galilee has come here, the great healer. And they immediately think of their friend, who's sick of the palsy. And no doubt they contacted one another one way or other and said, let's get our friend to this house in Capernaum. We have to get him there. The Lord may not be there tomorrow. This is our day of opportunity. Let's get this friend of ours. And they rallied round to the house. There lay their friend on his couch. Each one picked up a corner. And together they made their way to the house. Who was that man? A neighbor? A friend? A brother? A sister? A loved one? We don't know the identity of the individual. But whoever it was, they had a desire. That's the point. Whoever it was, there was a burning desire in their hearts to get this man to Christ. Surely as God's people, we often lament. And I would be the first to confess it. We often lament our lack of desire to get souls to Jesus Christ. We want to see the lost one. We want to see them brought to the Savior. And oh, that the Lord would give us a greater desire in our hearts. A burning desire. A desire that at times would even break our hearts. Some say that the palsy that this man had and was suffering from was a life-threatening palsy. So you can see, and there's no doubt it comes across in the three records of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you can see the urgency. The urgency of the four men. They arrived and there was such a crowd they couldn't get in. They could easily have said, well, we'll just go home and try some other time. No, they were determined to get into that house. Such was their desire. They were not going to be put off. There was no time to lose. If this man's life was under threat, there was no time to lose. For dear souls today, they're paralyzed with sin. There's no time to lose. Need to try and get them to the Savior. We have their desire, then we note their direction. When they took hold of this man's bed, in what direction did they go? Well, verse 18 tells us, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. That's the direction they went. They went in the direction of Jesus Christ. Now let's go over to Mark's Gospel. Mark gives us a few more details. Noise that he was in the house. What direction did they go? They went first of all to this place, to this house. Why did they go to that house? Why did they not go to some other house? They went to this house because it was the house that had this heavenly guest. The Lord was in that house. Now, there was absolutely no point of them taking their friend to a house where the Lord was not present. No, if they wanted to see their dear friend saved and they wanted to see him healed of his palsy, they had to bring him to a place where the Lord was found. It's the same in winning souls. No point bringing them to an old dead apostate church. There's no point bringing them to a place where the Lord is not found. Need to get souls to the place where Christ is. And that was the direction they went. Then we notice also in Mark 2, it was noised abroad that the Lord was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And so the four men brought their friend to the place, and they brought them to the place where the word was preached. They didn't tell them. They didn't say, "We're going to bring you to the synagogue and we'll have to get your name on the roll in the synagogue. That'll help you." Sure it would. The problem is many people think that today. They get their name on the church roll, that'll help them. It'll help them as much as it would have helped this man sick of the palsy. No, they knew in their own hearts, we have to get our friend to the house where the Lord is, and we have to get him to a place that preaches the word. And that's what we need to do. We need to get sinners in under the preaching of the word. If we are to see the lives of men and women transformed, we must get them in under the preaching of the words. What was it transformed Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? The preaching of the words. Peter stood up with boldness and he preached the word, and the Lord added to the church 3,000 souls. What was it transformed the city of Samaria? Here's the answer. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That's what brought revival to Samaria. What was it that changed the city of Antioch? Here's the answer. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The preaching of the word that transformed Jerusalem and Samaria and Antioch. It was the preaching of the word. No wonder. No wonder Paul, with almost his dying breath, said to Timothy, "Preach the words." The instant in season and out of season, whether they like it or not, Timothy, preach the words. That's what transforms cities and towns and transforms lives. May God keep us at the preaching of the word. And then we notice something else, the person. Yes, they brought him to the place, brought him to the preaching. Best of all, they brought him to the person. They brought the man to the one person who could help him. He brought him to Christ. There's only one person can help dying men, perishing souls, only one. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must try, with the Lord's help, with a burning desire in our hearts, to get men to Christ. He alone can help them. Then we notice, thirdly, their determination. We who are familiar with this wonderful story are aware of the determination of the four men getting their friend to the Lord. So often, determination is something that perhaps we lack in the Lord's work, and especially in the winning of souls, when we are first rebuffed by the person we're trying to win, we sort of give up. We need God-given, Spirit-inspired determination. If we do suffer from a lack of determination, then let us learn from these four men. I want you to notice their intention. Regarding their determination, notice their intention. But we read in verse 18, Luke chapter 5, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." You notice that. They sought means. We rejoice that the Lord uses means when it comes to the salvation of souls. He will use you and I as a means of reaching sinners. He will use you and I as a means of bringing men and women to the Lord. And they sought means. This would indicate to me that they gave it some thought. They thought about it. They said, "How can we get this man into this house?" If there is someone, dear child of God, we have this intention in our hearts to see them won for the Lord, let us before God give it some thought. How can I get this individual to the Lord? Have we thought about giving them a gospel tract? Perhaps leaving a gospel tract in and where they work, or if it's someone, some member of our family, leave a gospel tract with them in the house. And we thought about perhaps, I could invite them to church. I could give them my testimony. I have to do something. Just like the four men, they sought me. We need to think about means of getting sinners to the Lord. Next, we notice their ingenuity. We most certainly must give these men top marks for determination. They arrived at the house. There was no way in because the crowds were pressing in at the door. Couldn't make their way through. We read then in verse 19, "And when they could not find," by what way? They couldn't find a way. We know that our God is able to make a way where there is no way. He made a way for the children of Israel where there was no way. He made the way through the Red Sea. And if there's that determination in our hearts to win the lost, God will make a way to reach them. And we read then that in verse 19, when they find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. Now in houses out in Bible lands, there's usually a staircase outside the house that will take a person up onto the roof. They don't have to go through the house to gain access to the roof. They can go up the staircase outside. That's what these men did. Can you imagine then? There's a multitude of people. They would have to push their way through the crowd just to get to the staircase that would take them to the roof. And then think of the struggle they must have had climbing up the steps, carrying this man on his bed. Struggling up to get him to the Lord. It was a struggle. We all admit that. To win souls and win our loved ones for Christ, it's a struggle. It was a struggle for them. But they were determined. They said, well, we can't get through the door. We'll have to use our ingenuity. We'll get up for it. Notice something else. Notice their industry. You turn again to Mark. We're told by Luke that they got up on the roof and they just let him down in. But Mark tells us something else. Mark chapter 2, verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. There's their industry. They uncovered whatever covering was on the roof, and then it says they broke up the roof. Here helped the poor man that owned the house. He needed some house repairs after this. But the people, the four men, were determined to get their friend to the Savior. It wasn't easy for them, but they persevered. It's not easy for us to get our loved ones and get our friends to Christ, but oh, that God would help us to persevere. Now, we are told that they got up on the roof and then they broke up the roof. It was broken up. You take the words broken up. The words mean to dig. There's their industry. They had to dig a hole in the roof. So it wasn't easy for them. It wasn't a matter of just pulling back a few layers of something and letting them down. They had to dig a hole in the roof. They were determined. They were industrious. And you know, dear child of God, to get souls to the Savior, we'll have to do a bit of digging. We'll have to dig through that barrier that exists between that soul and Christ. We have to be industrious. The words broken up have another meaning. They also mean to break through. To dig and to break through. Isn't that interesting? After all of their work and their digging, they eventually gained a breakthrough. My, is this not encouraging for us? We pray. There's no response from the person we're praying for. We witness to them. We give them gospel tracts. We invite them to church. We do all that we can. There doesn't seem to be any response until one day there's a breakthrough. And we see them reading that tract that they wouldn't dare hold in their hands before. They'll say to him someday, well, maybe I will go to your church. There's a breakthrough. In the Bible, that they avoid it like the plague, suddenly you see them reading it. There's the breakthrough. They made the breakthrough just like the four men. They made the breakthrough. Dear child of God, that breakthrough will come. We just have to keep digging until we make the breakthrough by the grace of God. And then finally, we have the man and the healing Christ. In many ways, we come to the best part of the verse or of the passage. After the men had opened up the roof and let their friend down at the feet, to the feet of the Lord Jesus, we read, and when he saw their faith, there you have his perception. Now, this man's four friends were still up on the roof. The Lord knew all about them, of course. And we read, when he saw their faith, the blind men came to the Lord Jesus. They asked the Lord if the Lord would heal them. And the Lord asked them, do you believe I can heal you? And they said, yes, we do. The Lord said, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, the four men that brought their friend and his couch to Christ and were determined to get him to the Lord, those four men believed with all of their hearts that Christ could heal them. There was no doubt about it. The Lord saw their faith and their determination. And he knew that they believed. When the Lord saw their faith, he rewarded their faith and healed their May the Lord increase our faith. And then you notice his priority. His priority. This man's four friends brought him to the Lord because he was sick of the palsy. But when the Lord Jesus spoke to him, verse 20, for the first time, what did he say? He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He attended to the man's spiritual needs before he attended to the man's physical needs. The spiritual needs of a man are a priority. So someone asked us on Friday night, what do you do in the community? I said, God has called me to preach the gospel and to preach the word. And that's what I do in the community because the needs of a man's soul are more important than the needs of a man's body. We need to preach the word. And the Lord Jesus made this a priority. Notice something else. Compare the words of verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He was saved. But how does Mark record it? Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, once a man has his sins forgiven, in an instant he becomes a son of God. Prior to this incident, he was just a man. That's what it says, a man sick of the palsy. He could have been any man. But when the Lord met him and saved him, he immediately became a son of God. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so it was with the woman who suffered for 12 years with the issue of blood. She was just a woman. And when the Lord touched her and healed her, he called her daughter. She became his child. Then you notice his power. The scribes and the Pharisees didn't believe the Lord had power to forgive sin. They didn't believe that he was God. And so to prove that the Lord had power to forgive sins and that he was God, he told the man, take up your bed and walk. dear believer, that soul you're seeking to win, and they seem to be as far away from God as when you first began to pursue them for Christ. Just remember this: Christ is God, and He has power to save that soul, no matter how hard they are today. W.P. Nicholson went into a certain town for a gospel mission, and at the end of the mission he said, "That town is as hard as hell." He was right. There are some souls the devil has hardened their hearts, and their hearts are as hard as hell. Christ is able to break that heart. He's able to save that soul, because He's almighty and He's all powerful. Then you have His precept, verses 24 and 25. Notice what the Lord told the man to do. He told him to go into thine house. And then we are told, and immediately he went. He was to go home immediately. Can you imagine the change that took place in that home as a result of that man meeting Christ? And oh, what a change would be in homes here today if our loved ones were all gathered in. What a change there would be in homes in this town, the people who dwell in them were saved by the grace of God. What a change there would be. And he went immediately. No questions asked. He went immediately. He immediately obeyed the Lord. There is a good example for all who have become the sons and the daughters of God. Let's always obey the precepts of the Lord. When the Lord says go, let us go. When the Lord says stay, let us stay. And then the praise. The moment the Lord saved the man, his friends faded out of the picture. The glory wasn't given to the four men. The glory was given to God. For we read in verse 25, "And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today." They were all amazed. Those words may be rendered, amazement took them all. The word is translated in three other places, all in the book of Acts, and the same word amazed is translated in the book of Acts three times, a trance. So when they saw what the Lord had done for this man, the people that were there, they were amazed. They were in a trance. They couldn't believe what they'd seen. They just stood there, mesmerized. They stood there like people in a trance. They'd obviously known this man sick of the palsy, and now to see him get up, gather up his couch, either put it on his shoulder or on his head, and walk out of the meeting and walk home. They were mesmerized. They stood there like people in a trance. There's another little word here in verse 26. I want to draw your attention to it. It says that the people said, "We have seen strange things today." That phrase, "strange things," is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. It is the word paradox. It is the word paradox. And just to get it right, I looked up my large Collins dictionary. What's a paradox? One of the definitions given, an opinion that conflicts with common belief. How well it describes what happened here. The people just could not believe their eyes. They said, this is impossible. This shouldn't be able to happen. But it did. And the Lord, what he did for that man, he can do for us. And he can do for the people we're seeking to win. And the devil would say, oh, that man. Couldn't see that man saved. Couldn't get that man to Christ. But as the people saw strange things that day in Capernaum, the Lord is able to do those strange things for us as well. He's able to do what many regard as the impossible, for nothing is too hard for him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal, gracious, loving Father, we bless thee and praise thee for the grace of God, the power of the blood. We thank thee for the burden that our Savior had for souls. We bless thee, Lord, for what he did for the man sick of the palsy. O Lord, we know there are others today and they're sick of sin. Sin has them in its grasp. But we're glad, Lord, thou art able to break the power of canceled sin. Thou art able to set these prisoners of sin and set them free. Help us, Lord, to win the lost and bring men and women to Christ. Be with us, our Father, today as we leave the house of God. Take us to our homes in safety and be with us there throughout the Sabbath day. May the Sabbath be a delight to our souls. And all who can, Lord, bring them back again to God's house tonight. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until that great and glorious day when we see our King face to face. Amen.